Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Sat down with Pastor Rod Gilchrist over coffee. Just one of those random times of chatting with the lead pastor of the Dream Center, long before he shared his journey of building the church and the struggles and the triumphs they had. And he said, tell me about Victor Harbour, tell me about the church you pastor. I told him a little bit about history and told him what we were hoping to achieve. And he said to me, so tell me about this vision for your building. He said, because I had a dream and you're now sitting in the dream. So I shared with the vision that God had laid upon our hearts to build a community center and what we're already doing and what we were believing would transpire. And I said to him, I said, would you mind if I just wandered through your facility, if I could just have your blessing, just to let me either go with you or have someone take me? He said, you know what? He said, the place is yours. If you want to get a tape measure, a measure, if you want to just stand in awe, if you want to pace things out, if you want to go up to the upper levels, if you want to look in my office, in my boardrooms, he said, you just go. He said, as a matter of fact, go now. And he called over one of his volunteers and he said, I want you to watch the door and don't let anyone in until Pastor Lou's finished. And so I had this amazing time of walking through their facility and pacing out the size of the stage and envisaging what God has placed on our hearts to build here in Victor Harbour. And I must have been in there probably 45 minutes. And I was just praying and experiencing God's presence and dreaming the dream of what God could do in this little community of Victor Harbour and across the Fluorio. And I heard the door creak and I thought, oh, time for the next session. Pastor Rod came in and he said, can I walk with you? He said, there's nothing better than for a man of vision to have a man of vision walk with him. He said, I want to show you some of the stuff we've put aside, some of the stuff that we've actually put on hold, some of the stuff that God's blessed us mightily with. I want to walk you through it. And he said, if there's anything I can do for you to see your dream come to pass, he said, I'm a phone call away. I want to talk this morning about God the Builder. We started off last week about God the Builder. And God gave me three parts of this sermon, that he would build us by revelation. You know, God revealed himself to you by the Holy Spirit. That day when you said, I don't want any of this God stuff. Get away from me with religion. Don't talk to me about Jesus. And then there was a day, there was a moment in your life where the reality of Jesus was revealed into your spirit. You stopped kicking, you stopped fighting, you stopped resisting, and you simply said, and it may have been a longer prayer, but you simply said, Jesus, I can't do this anymore without you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I want to follow you. Now the revelation of Jesus didn't stop there, did it? You came to Jesus and everything was all right. You didn't have to worry about anything anymore. The pantry was full of food. The kids never misbehaved again. The car was always full of petrol with new tyres. The council rates were paid. The electricity bill was taken care of. The investments in the bank continued to multiply. Wasn't like that, was it? There was a journey of you and I beginning to trust and to rely on God day by day. As we opened ourselves to him, he revealed more of himself to us. Amen? You sit quietly in your prayer time and you say, Lord, lead me to a scripture. Lead me to a passage. Lord, give me something to read today. And it might be an article that you're reading as an email. It might be an article online. It might be a passage directly in the Word. It might come to you by the Holy Spirit into your heart. But how many know that none of us have arrived to the fullness yet of what God's anticipating for our lives? Do we know that? None of us have arrived. We get closer and then God reveals something new and fresh, and the Holy Spirit brings us into a line on something different. And so that today I want to go on from revelation into relationships. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. There was a relationship there that the Father had with the Son, where he could say to the Son, you're the best I've got. Now go down to the mess I've got and you clean it up. Why would you send your Son to die on a cross? Why would you allow your Son to go through 30 years of life, begin a ministry at 30, and move in that anointing for 3.5 years, only to be arrested by mankind, to be, you know, wrongly persecuted and prosecuted by mankind and nailed to a tree, to be humiliated? Why would you do that? It's out of relationship. That passage in John 3:16, for God so loved his Son that he said, I've got a job for you to do. No, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When you get the revelation that God loves you so much that he was prepared to send his Son to die for you, but not just for you, so you can go on and reveal Jesus to others, the job of Christ is fulfilled in you, so you can fulfill the job of Christ in the lives of others. God always has been into relationships. The Bible says in Genesis, he walked in the cool of the evening, every evening, with Adam. Why did he do that? He was thinking about relationship. He was thinking about how he could build and encourage and discuss and glean from Adam stuff. I'm sure it wasn't a one-way conversation. Adam, you don't need to tell me how the day went. I know. Adam, here's your job description for tomorrow. Now listen carefully. Here we go. He had a relationship with his creation, Adam. And the Bible says he walked with him. That, to me, says in the cool of the evening, he walked with his creation and said, so Adam, tell me about your day. From your perspective, Adam, how was your day? Myrna just said she had a mixed up week. She had the good, she had the bad, she had the ugly. How many others go through that too? It's not always good stuff. But when you're walking with the Lord in relationship, even the bad stuff doesn't seem as heavy at the end of the day. Amen? Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear some evil? No evil. That's a faith confession. Because when you're walking through stuff and you're on your own and things look like everything and everyone's working against you, it feels like the valley of death. It feels like it's all over. It feels like it's finished. But when you proclaim Jesus as Lord and you've got a relationship with God, you can go through stuff and you're only going through it and you fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they what? They comfort me. Where would you be today without God in your life? Without Jesus alongside of you? Without the Holy Spirit to protect you and guide you? Amen? We kicked off last week about out of Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house. He's talking about us. He's not talking about the physical house. Amen? And God's about building up his church, I believe, in the last days, relationally. In relation with his people. Not just the God who points his finger from above and says, thou shalt not. But leading us, guiding us, loving us, supporting us. You know, in Isaiah 58, verse 12, it says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. That was one of those foundational scriptures when I took on the senior role here at the church, that you and I would be known as the repairer of the breach. We'd build relationship with a community that did not understand and did not want to understand the things of God. That we would rebuild people's direction about what they think about the church. And all of us have got an opinion about the church, even though you're part of the church. Amen? Because all of us, in one way or another, have been disappointed with the church, have been let down by the church, have become disillusioned by things of the church. But the church is made up of people. People who are real, people who are going through stuff, people who are having good days and not so good days, people who are having trouble with finance, people who are having the joy of the Lord as their strength. And this whole mixture, we come together, the church, and Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say he'd build it down, but he'd build it up. He builds it up on a foundation. We talked about that last week. And the foundation is on the rock, the Word of God, Jesus himself made flesh, who dwelt among us. And he's about building. I talked last week about how we build a house as a family. And I was so excited about the foundations being laid, and we walked over those foundations and said, that's going to be the ensuite bathroom. That's going to be the family room. That's going to be the kids' room. That's going to be this room. But guess what? The builder didn't come and say to us the next day, well, here you go. Ta-da! I think it cost us $40,000 to build the house back then. It was a huge, huge debt. $40,000. We paid $15,000 for the block of land. But what we were expecting from the builder, based on those footings, based on those foundations, was a structure that would keep us dry and warm and safe and comfortable, a place where we could invite people to come for meals and invite family to come and stay, where people could enjoy our hospitality, where people could enjoy what was going on in our lives. And likewise, Jesus said, I will build my church based on a foundation, the revelation of Jesus the Christ. Amen? So who are we as a church? Why are we here? Why are you here? And more importantly, where are you going? Happy to just sit in church on a Sunday, shout praises and hallelujahs and wait for Jesus to come back? Looking forward to that day like so many Christians are, where I can be in glory? That's not the purpose God created you. That's the final outcome, that you'll be with him in glory. But he wants you to operate with purpose on here, working in his glory, working his anointing, being the church that Jesus died for. Amen? We're not actually here to build a building. You and I are here on planet Earth as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to build people and to build the kingdom. Amen? In Luke chapter 7, verses 19 to 22, John's under arrest. He's about to get his head cut off, John the Baptizer. And it says in the scriptures, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the men had come to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now, in John's heart, he's saying to himself, was it all worth it? Was Jesus really the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one? The one that's going to bring change to planet Earth. Did I misunderstand? Did I not have a full revelation? And it says, in that very hour, he, Jesus, cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. There in that passage is the purpose that you and I exist. Out of a right relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son, out of a right relationship with Holy Spirit, this is our purpose for being here. Not actually this. This is the equipping, then is the going, and our purpose is here what? That the blind may see, the lame shall walk, the lepers be cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel, the good news preached to them. Have you got good news today? Do you know how to share good news? One of the workshops we had up in the Gold Coast was by an evangelist. He's probably in his late 70s now, and he's got a passion to see souls saved. And he ran a workshop on how to reach the lost in this generation. I wasn't able to attend that workshop because I'd booked for another workshop. But what he did, he spent probably 45 minutes telling people how in this generation we don't go up to people and say, "Would you like to come to church with me Sunday?" Because 90% of the people answer no. They're point blank rude about it. You ask them, if you were to die tomorrow, would you go to heaven? And most people don't have an answer. It was interesting because about 25, maybe 30 people went to that workshop. And at the end of the workshop, Bill said to them, "I'm heading down to Surfers Paradise now. I'm going to one of the big malls to practice what I've just taught you. Who would like to come?" 12 people went. Just been fired up, just been enthused. We had the afternoon free. Who's coming with me? We'll even provide a bus if you haven't got wheels. 12 people went. Less than half. But that night when they asked Pastor Bill what was the result of the visit to Surfers Paradise, they had led 15 people to Jesus. They had fulfilled the purpose that they were designed to do based on what they'd learnt in that short workshop. They said, "We've got enough faith, we've got enough enthusiasm, we've got enough energy to go out and put into practice what we've just heard." It reminded me of the upper room. 120 gathered in the upper room. 500 followers, 120 were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Who saw the working of the Holy Spirit? The 380 that were out at McDonald's, watching the local footy match, celebrating family time? No, the 120 who were fulfilling what Jesus had told them to do, and that was to wait in Jerusalem. So many Christians I know live on a revelation that's a revelation for the moment. They get all passionate about God. They get all excited about the Holy Spirit. They get all excited about a scripture they've just read. And you watch them over the next couple of days, and the excitement level goes from up here to down here. You see him the next time, you say, "Wow, how's things going?" "Oh, well, you know." And I usually say, "No, I don't know. Tell me." Because that revelation is not a deep revelation that leads them on to a deeper relationship with God. I want to talk about that this morning over the next few minutes. But Jesus is the foundation. He's the revelation, but he wants us to build on that relationally. You see, Jesus came to build the kingdom. That was his task. That was his purpose. That was his motivation to come. His motivation was to transform people's lives. Now, stinking religion was what had involved in what we now call the Old Testament. Stinking religion. Man had got hold of what God wanted to do, and he turned the temple into something God didn't intend it to be. They took the authority God had intended them to do, and they twisted it and added to it and made it good for themselves. Well, Jesus came to do away with religion. Amen? He came to bring life back into the church, into his people. And you and I are called also to build the kingdom. How are we meant to build the kingdom? By bringing about change in people's lives. God so loved you, he sent his son to save you, and out of your love for him, relationally, we now go out and bring God's love to others. Amen? We may want to expand the building, but that's part of housing the people that are going to come when they meet Jesus, because they're more likely to meet Jesus out in your world and then come into church, then come to church and then find Jesus. Amen? We expect people to walk into our doors looking for Jesus. They're walking into your world and they're looking for Jesus. Can I say that today? And out of relationship with those people, they will want to know about Jesus. And I remind you about this businessman that blessed the Dream Center with first $1 million. And before the man died, he asked for Jesus to come into his heart. Unbeknownst to the pastor, another $4.2 million had been set aside for the kingdom. God will do that again and again and again. I'm not just talking about finances, but he'll bring people into your lives the same as he brings people into my lives just to chat about God. Amen? Jesus himself said, go into all the world and do what? Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of what? Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they work together. They're in relationship with one another. Jesus didn't just cross his arms like a rebellious teenager and say, Dad, I'm 30 years of age now. I can do my own thing. He said, whatever you see me do, that I have seen my Father do. Relationally. Those things you hear me say, I only say what I've heard my Father say. It took Jesus 3.5 years to build up the lives, in particular, of 12 men. He entered into a relationship with those first 12 disciples, including Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray him. But he built that based on the revelation of who he was and what would come and why he came, so they too could go away and preach good news. And we know that didn't quite work out when they arrested Jesus. They all scattered, didn't they? Don't think the revelation was quite as deep as God had planned. So if you and I take that relationship based on the foundation, the revelation we have of God, we likewise can relate to our hurting, dying, sin-filled world. Notice the way I worded that. Didn't put just sinful. Hurting, dying, sin-filled world. Dying without Christ. Hurting without Christ. Living a life without Christ. It would not be an easy life. But when you and I live in a constant relationship based on the revelation of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit, we keep doing life with purpose. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Hallelujah. I'm going to get through all this today because I believe the relationship part of this message is going to take more than just one session to get through. Ephesians 4. Verses 15 and 16. I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, rather let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of him, there's a foundation right there. Because of him, not because of your good looks, not based on your intelligence, not based on your bank balance, But because of him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by joints and ligaments, with which it is supplied when each part, everyone say each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. How many of you got a head attached to your body? Yeah, I think you're all qualified for that. Likewise, we are the body of Christ attached to the head. Now, you might not feel like a part of the body today, but you are. Just as in the natural, you were birthed into this world by relationship between a male and a female. I'm not going to go any deeper, don't get embarrassed. So it is that we were born into the kingdom based on the love of the Father to bring you out of darkness and into light. Now, I mentioned earlier in announcements about online relationships. How many of you would like to do online church all the time and nothing else? How many would you like to do an online relationship with your husband or your wife for the rest of your days? I envisage what it would be like at the marriage of a man and a woman who come together at a ceremony, and I love doing weddings, and I get them to say words like, I will. Will you cherish her? Will you love her? Will you support her? Will you lay down your life for her? I will. Now picture this, at the day of the service, they come together, they make their vows, they kiss, and the husband decides he's going to Hawaii for his honeymoon, and his wife decides she's going to Indonesia for her honeymoon. And they open up their laptops when they arrive in their hotel suite, and they type to each other, honey, isn't this great? Yes, dear, I'm in a beautiful room. And this is our wedding night. Oh, yes, I forgot about that. Happy wedding night. See, Robin's embarrassed already. In the same way, we loosely treat our relationship with God and his people when we can go and do stuff online rather than in line. I love downloading messages. I love listening to sermons. I love doing devotionals. I love researching online. But more than that, I love the fellowship face to face with brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter where that is, no matter what they look like, no matter what color skin they have, because that's where I get that relationship that builds me. You know, I can shop online. I can bank online. I can register my car online. I can do so many things these days online. But there's some things I can't do online because God's called us to be relational in our lives. I missed my flight Monday morning to go to the Gold Coast by about 2 minutes. I was smiling. Did I have to go to a computer to rebook my flight? Thank God I didn't. I had this lovely young lady said, sir, what a shame you missed your flight. We will help you out. Give us some more money. She said, I'm going to help you out to get your next available flight. Is it urgent you get there? And is it okay if we send you via Sydney? It depends how long I have to sit in Sydney. 2 days? 3 days? And she said, as a matter of fact, she said, I can get you the next flight out, leaving in 45 minutes, going to Sydney. There'll be perhaps a half an hour layover time, which is really enough time to get from one airport, one side of the airport to the other. And if you like, I can put you on a wing seat to give you extra leg room, and there's nobody else in that row. You'll be on your own for the whole flight. And she says, as a matter of fact, looking at the next flight from Sydney to Gold Coast, I can put you on a wing seat, extra leg room, and there'll be someone that side, there'll be a seat in the middle, and there'll be you. How could I do that online? How could I get that favour? How could I expect unless I do it face to face? And that's why I believe God sent Jesus into this world as flesh. He could have done it in the spirit. Imagine if God had said, look, Jesus, I'm going to save you a few years. Let's just send Holy Spirit. You and I can spend time together, Father and Son. Holy Spirit can go and do the work. It wouldn't work. Because God wanted mankind to experience a relationship with the living God based on Jesus the Son. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at some other scriptures. Psalm 133, verse 3. God talks about connection. It says, where there is unity, where men, where people dwell together, the Lord what? Commanded. Past tense. The blessing. What's the blessing? Life forevermore. For where people dwell in unity, the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Have you ever had a bit of trouble with a muscle or a joint or a ligament not doing what it's supposed to do? Hands up everywhere there should be. You know, you've twisted the wrong way, or you know, you've worked extra hard and there's a muscle, or you know, just a twinge of pain, or you know, like Pastor Michael Yochum got knocked off his motorbike in Geelong the other day, and he stood up and he gave himself a shake and he said, well, praise God, I'm all right, everything's okay. And his dad said, why is your right hand shoulder lower than the other one? He'd broken his collarbone. But he just got up, thankful that the car hadn't run over the top of him and his motorbike, and he's feeling sort of okay. But sort of okay is not okay, is it? And if I cut off Dennis's arm right now, well, Tim's not here with his knife. Did he show you his knife last night? And I just waved Dennis's arm around for a while and then tried to put it back. How many know that I probably wouldn't have a really good success rate? Because God designed our arm to be connected with blood vessels, with muscles, with ligaments, with nerves, so that when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you just don't look and go, I wonder if that's hurting or not. That would really hurt if I had feeling. God gave us the connection that goes to our brain and we go, oh my goodness, that hurt us. No, we don't. We go, oh, that hurt. It's a connectedness that God builds on, and he does it in the natural, he does it in the spiritual. Amen? Come with me to John 14. John 14, verse 7. You're laughing with me today, that's good, but I hope you're also taking in the stuff I'm talking about. I was listening to one pastor the other day, and he's a bit like me in my early days. He ummed and ahed his way through, and he praised the Lord, hallelujah, amen, on every sentence. I kept saying inside of me, get to the point. Please, just get to the point. And then I'm thinking that he pastors a church, and some of his volunteers from his church were at the conference, and they talked so highly of him. The best, eloquent, most brilliant speaker like me. But he's got a heart to serve God, and they love him despite the ums and the ers and the praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen in every sentence. What he's gifting is he's in a magnificent accountant, chased down by churches and ministries and private practice for his ability to crunch numbers. He's an important part of the body. The amount of churches he saved financially through his good accounting, I was nearly going to say clever, his good accounting skills, is his gifting. Moses was the same. He went before the Pharaohs telling God, I stutter and I stammer, I'm of low education. Who am I to go to the king of Europe? The Pharaoh of Egypt. See, I'm not perfect. You all thought I was perfect. But here we are in this passage here, John 14, 7 to 11. It's just a powerful, powerful passage. And it says, if he'd known me, had learned to recognize me, you would have known my Father. See that relationship? Know me, know my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Hang on a minute. We're talking to you, Jesus. But Jesus is so closely related to his Father. If you've seen me, you've seen Dad. How many know that in the natural you can see a son or a daughter and you look at them and go, boy, you're your father's daughter, or wow, you're your mother's daughter, because similarities flow through. But Jesus is saying exactly the same thing as the Son of Man, but likewise as the Son of God. He's convincing them. Because he just finished saying, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Look at the answer from Philip in verse 8. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. That is all we ask, the Amplified says. Then we shall be satisfied. Question to you all this morning. Have any of you met Jesus in the flesh, face to face? Anyone? Do you still believe on him? Why? Because he revealed himself by the Holy Spirit to you. You accepted Jesus through the Holy Spirit who led you to the Father. That's why you're a child of the King. You're not just a follower of Jesus. You're not just a disciple of the Holy Spirit. You're related to the Father because Holy Spirit came and spoke to you and led you through Jesus, the only way to the Father. Amen? Let's read on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. No. Stop that. That is all we ask, then we will be satisfied. Verse 9, Jesus replied, have I been with all of you for so long a time, and you do not recognize and know me? Yet, Philip, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and on my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me, this is Jesus speaking, does the works, does his own miracles and deeds of power. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Doesn't this sound familiar? Christ in me. And where are you found? You are found in Christ. Likewise, the relationship flows through. Father to Son, Son through Holy Spirit to us, and we are now found in Christ, out of relationship, and because of that relationship, we're now related to the Father. Too deep this morning? Too hard to fathom? Maybe a revelation to some of you. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. The Amplified says, if you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince me. Quickly over John 16, beginning at verse 7. John 16, beginning at verse 7. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth, Jesus speaking, when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener and Standby will not come to you. The Amplified says this, into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. The relationship is so tight between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One in three, three in one. Each has its own purpose. Each has its own reason for existence. But they're all working together to bring the kingdom down to earth. Amen? Likewise, when you and I are found in Christ, that same relationship needs to flow in order for the blessing to exist. Amen. Bless you all. Have an awesome, anointed day in Jesus' name.